Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to a special edition, the season 9 premiere edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I'm of course William Amo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
I'm all right. You know, watching the Jet game and you know, just chilling on a Thursday night. You know, usually we do the show on Saturdays at 11, but you know. You know, won't be able to do it that day, so we're doing a special Thursday night edition. So I'm glad to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
So yeah, we're gonna, you know, talk sports and entertainment as we always do. So, you know, I want to thank you for coming on the show, and I want to thank you know, everybody for listening to this episode. And if you want to talk, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So we're going to talk about a lot of topics today. We're going to talk about the Astros winning a decisive Game 7 against the Dodgers. We're also going to talk about what, you know, Hot Stove plans the Mets or the Yankees should do to improve on their season. You know, also, we're going to talk about the Jets right now playing against the Bills. And also the Giants, they're going to be, you know, they're going to be playing this weekend after their bye week. You know, we'll give our thoughts on that. And talk about the latest in the NBA and much more. So, of course, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So without further ado, let's talk about this very memorable World Series. And as you all know, the Astros last night won their first ever World Series championship when they defeated the Dodgers by the final score of 5-1 in Game 7. And the city of Houston, you know, they have something, you know, to cheer about after, you know, all the hard stuff that they went through, you know, off the field stuff that the city has went through this year. So, it was nice to see the city of Houston, you know, finally have a champion, you know, in that town. You know, they've been around, I think, since 1961, if memory serves me right, when they were called the Houston Colts 45. And
funny name.
I think they changed it for PC reasons. You know, they didn't want, I guess they didn't feel having a team named after a gun, you know, would be, I don't know. I guess they didn't think it, they had second thoughts about it, so. You know, they changed it to Astros. And, that franchise, you know, they've went to some tough times. You know, they've had some good teams in 86 where, you know, the Mets upsetted them in six games in order to go to the World Series and defeat the Red Sox that year, which unfortunately has been the last World Series championship of my Mets, but... we digress. And then in 05, they finally got to the World Series, but they got swept by the White Sox. And now, you know, they battled the Dodgers and, you know, defeated them in seven games, you know. So, I mean, basically, you know, kudos to the Astros. What's your thoughts on the whole series?
It was a fun series to watch. You know, you had a lot of home runs, a lot of scoring. Pitching was not that great in the series, I have to admit. But that just showed you how good both offenses were in the series. But, I mean, yeah, it was great. It was a great, fun series to watch. I mean, you had that – what game was it? Was it game four or game three, I think? With that bonus extra inning games, extra inning game where they went deep. No one seemed like they wanted to win it.
Are you talking about like the game where they the game where they whatchamacallit the Astros won what was it? Astros won like third
in late innings.
12?
Yeah, correct. When it,
yeah,
you know, it seemed
was,
like no one wanted
I think
to win.
That was game five.
Was it game five?
Right, I think that was. I think it was game five, and then they lost game six, and then they obviously won game seven.
It was game five? You sure?
Let me double check.
Okay.
Double check to make sure. But I think I think it was game five. I think it was game five when they scored when it
13,
was 12? The 12. The 13.
I thought it was game
13,
three.
12. Yeah, it was game five.
It was
game
five.
They
okay.
Won in 10 innings. Yeah. Here's the scores of the World Series. Dodgers won 3-1. The game two. The Astros got their first ever World Series win. Final score 7-6 in the 11th. Then game three, the first game of the, you know, them being in Minute Maid Park, the Astros won 5-3. Then game four, Dodgers won 6-2. Game five, the last game, at, you know, in Minute Maid Park was that crazy game. Which, you know, we thought would have been a pitching duel, you know, from the start. But, yeah, Kershaw didn't have it that game.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, game six was 3-1. And then the decisive game seven, Houston Astros won 5-1. They knocked out Darvish in the second. And, yeah, basically, McCullers, you know, he had a little, he didn't have his command, you know, he kept them in the game, but he didn't have his command. He hit four batters. I think, Justin Turner got hit twice, the former Met, and, whatchamacallit, but then, Charlie Morton, man, he was the MVP out of the pen. He went what, four innings, and you know, he clinched the first ever championship for the Astros. So, you know, as a result, George Springer, the World Series MVP, you know, he hit five home runs, highlighted by the 2-run home run he hit to put the game out of reach. Which turned a 3-0 lead to 5-0 at the time, and the Astros was basically on cruise control the whole night. And I think a big move that the Dodgers didn't do was that they probably should have started Kershaw, even though, you know, it's not a lot of, he didn't have a lot of rest, but. You know, they brought him in the game anyway after it was 5-0. So, I mean, that was a waste of Kershaw's time.
Yeah, I didn't get that. Like, he could have started the game. I mean, he ended up pitching, you know, several innings. I mean, you might as well just have started him to begin with because Darvish certainly didn't have it. And I don't know why their manager thought it would be a good idea to start Yu Darvish, you know, in the game seven. I mean, you have your best pitcher, you know, on the team. I mean, he should be the one starting on short rest in the game seven.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, the game five, Kershaw and Keuchel was supposed to be this, you know, it was the rematch of the, you know, of the game one, and it was a totally different game. You know, the first game was 3-1, and you know, Kershaw got the victory. But, yeah, game five was totally went off script because none of the guys had it. So, you know, basically he should have went to Kershaw. If you're going to waste Kershaw, Kershaw only went 4 2/3 game five. But, of course, he allowed the 6 runs in that game. So, yeah, if you're going to use Kershaw in game seven, you might as well start him. I mean, yeah, we know Darvish is a great pitcher ever since, you know, he was pitching, you know, overseas, you know. So, I mean, obviously he's a tremendous pitcher, you know, ever since, you know, Japan and not to mention here, but, you know, you got Kershaw, that's your guy, you know.
Yeah.
You gotta use him, and he used him too little, too late, and that cost them, that, in my opinion, that cost them the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't understand that at all, but, you know, congrats to the Houston Astros. I mean, all year they played great, had a great offense. You know, their pitching was a little suspect, but, you know, that Verlander trade definitely helped them. You know, without, if they didn't trade for Verlander, you know, they probably don't make it to World Series. Probably.
Absolutely.
But that helped big time, and you know they're a great team. I mean, they've been building for this moment for the last several years. You know, hence that Sports Illustrated article back in 2014, which actually predicted that they would win the World Series that year, and they also had George Springer, the MVP, on that cover back then. So. You know, this
that
team
was
is
so freaky.
Yeah, I know. It's scary. I mean, they've been building their farm system and getting great, building these players. And, you know, this is a team that's going to compete for the next few years in the American League.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they have a lot of young guys.
Yeah, they're definitely going to.
You know, their pitching is a little suspect, but, you know, they got a great offense.
Absolutely. You hit it right on the head. They would not have won that World Series without the Verlander trade. Verlander was the proverbial final piece to the puzzle.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
As a result, they are finally champions. And Carlos Beltran, you know, congratulations to him. Now he's been bouncing around all over the league. You know, the Royals, the Astros, two times, the Mets, the Yankees, Giants, Cardinals. And now he can finally be a world champion with the Astros. So,
yeah,
I'm happy for him. You know, he finally got the ring.
Yeah, it's about time.
Yeah, exactly. And congratulations to, you know, Altuve, Correa, Springer, Verlander finally getting his first championship. Of course, Keuchel getting his first championship. You know, congratulations all around to those guys, you know. I truly believe those were the only guys who, you know, who could have stopped the Yankees, you know, that the young Yankee team. Because the Yankees look like a team of destiny, even though they were young guys. So.
Yeah, I mean, the Astros, you know, they have just as many young players as the Yankees do, you know, but they proved to be a better team, you know. They play great defense. I mean, their defense was phenomenal in this postseason. Their offense... At times, in the Yankee series, at times their offense didn't look that good, but they certainly stepped it up in this World Series with all those home runs that they hit. And talking about home runs, you know, I know some people on Twitter and social media have been complaining that, you know, maybe the balls are juiced or, you know, the players are on steroids. MLB needs to look into that to find out why has the home run rate increased the last several years. You know, there's something going on.
Yeah, some people think the ball's juiced, and, you know, some people think, you know, like the ball's juiced, like something's wrong, clearly wrong.
Yeah, smaller, you know.
But, I guess we'll find out soon enough.
Yeah.
But, you know, congratulations to the Astros, the Dodgers had a great year. They were the favorites, you know, to win it all. But, you know, Astros was the team of destiny. So, you know, you got to tip your hat to the Astros.
Yeah, and again, Dodgers, you know, fall short. You know, every year they're expected to do big things, and once again, they fall short. I mean, getting the World Series is tough, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So,
trust me.
It's not a guarantee they're going to be there next year.
Yeah, they might be, you know, at the end of their run, even though they got a young, talented team, but this current team could be on their could be on, it could be a while before they get back there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough. Tough to win it all. And, you know, on the flip side, the Mets are, you know, just 2 years ago, they were in the World Series, and funny thing, the Astros won on the same day, on the 2 year anniversary of the Matt Harvey game, where he pitched brilliantly in Game 5 of the World Series. But, you know, Terry Collins was going to take him out of the game. He had to plead his case. He came back into the game, and he clearly didn't have his stuff that he had throughout the whole game, the first 8 innings. And, you know, the Mets would wind up losing that game and the World Series at home. And the Mets haven't recovered ever since then. So
yeah.
They're hoping with their new manager, Mickey Callaway, to mention reportedly Dave Island, the former Yankee and Royals pitching coach, is going to join the Mets, which I think is a great move because Dave Island was my favorite guy to replace Dan Worthen because, you know, he won a title with both the Yankees in 2009 and the Royals 2 years ago in the aforementioned Royal versus Mets World Series. So, you know, I thought, you know, he would be the perfect fit because, you know, he didn't win a title once, but he won it twice in two different organizations. So he'll know what to do with this current Met team that's, you know, been plagued with injuries for the past couple of years. So hopefully he could you know, put it together and make the Mets bounce back to their winning ways.
Yeah, I mean, the Mets, you know, they've lost their identity the last year, you know. After going to the World Series a few years ago and having young players and, you know, being many people seeing them as being one of the front runners in that National League East, you know, they've fallen from grace, you know. You know, they've had injuries. They've traded some of their players. I mean, yeah. I mean, this is a team that needs to find itself again.
Absolutely. I mean, they turned my Harvey, the Dark Knight, into the Joker. I mean, he's a laughing stock. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't been the same since 2 years ago yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't been the same since Game 5 of the 2015 World Series. You know,
and David Wright hasn't been the same in 10 years.
Yeah. He hasn't been on the field. He didn't play this entire season.
Yeah, wow.
This entire season, you know. You know, he has the same injury that cost Don Mattingly, the current Marlin manager, his career. So,
yeah.
That's why Mets got to rebuild, you know. Well, regroup. And they gotta keep the team. They gotta keep the pitching staff healthy. You know, they made some, you know, coaching staff new moves. They keep Ricky Bonus. They promote Pat Russler as the hitting coach after Kevin Long, the former Yankee and Met hitting coach. He joins his old friend Daniel Murphy in Washington to be the hitting coach of the Nationals after he was passed over for the skipper job with the Mets. So he left Mets to go to Nationals for the same position. Tom Goodwin, the first base coach, he left and went to Red Sox. Red Sox, as a result, Red Sox former first base coach Ruben Amaro Jr. He left and joined the Mets for the same spot. And if Ruben Amaro Jr., his name sounds familiar to you, he was the former assistant GM of the championship Philly team in 2008. And then as soon as Pat Gillick retired, he took over the GM spot. Remember he was on that was talking smack about the Phillies?
Yeah.
Philly fans while he was the GM of the Phillies.
Yep.
So I don't know how a GM could be a first base coach. But he apparently he did it with the Red Sox last year, so hopefully he'll do better than what Goodwin did last year, which I
yeah,
know, he did
hopefully
a good job. But you know they gotta move on, and basically they gotta improve on the team, whether it's signing Hosmer or Moustakas. I think Moustakas is the number one guy they gotta go after, hands down. Maybe even and they gotta sign a bullpen guy. You know, a guy who could eat innings like Bartolo Colon could, or even your boy CeCe. You know, somebody like that who could eat innings. But I think he's staying with you guys, to be honest with you. I don't see CeCe ever leaving the Yankees.
Yeah,
but
definitely. I think
a
he'll
guy like that.
I think CeCe will be with us for the next few years at least.
Yeah, I'd say 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And then he'll retire. But, yeah, they need a guy. I mean, I don't think they're going to go after Darvish, you know. You know, he's a good pitcher, even though he didn't pitch well, you know, yesterday. But, you know, that's a guy, you know, if you want, you know, you want to go deep in the playoffs, you need a guy like that.
Right.
Even though he did spit the bit last night. But you need a guy like that to get you to the dance. But, who do you think the Mets and the Yankees should go after?
You know, with the Yankees, you know, they probably need another pitcher. Definitely another starting pitcher. You know, I'm trying to think of, you know, what pitching free agents are out there right now. Out of the market.
Darvish is out there. Jake
Arrieta. I don't want Darvish after what he did in that World Series.
Arrieta is a free agent.
Maybe Moustakas. Maybe get
Moustakas
for third, you know, to replace Headley, maybe. After Jake Arrieta, you know, for pitching.
Of course, what's his name? Todd Frazier is a free agent.
Yeah.
That you had. I don't know if you guys want to re-sign him.
Arrieta, what do you think about Arrieta? I mean, he might be a good fit for us, maybe, as a pitcher.
Yeah, he's a good pitcher. He's a very good pitcher.
I mean, the guy won Cy Young a few years ago, man.
Yeah, I could definitely see him. I could definitely see him come to the Yankees.
Yeah.
For sure. No doubt about that, for sure.
For the Mets, I mean, you know, if you guys could get, you know, maybe a guy like J.D. Martinez, maybe. Or even getting Jay Bruce again, going that route, you know, or
maybe.
Eric Hosmer, you know, one of those guys.
That's true. You never know, they might go that route too.
Yeah, or I could even see them as getting Yu Darvish to add to the lineup, to the pitching lineup.
Rotation.
Yeah.
You never know. I mean, he does scare me with his performance from yesterday, though.
Yeah, I don't think you could trust him in a big game, but, you know, during the regular season, he would he'd get you some wins.
Yeah. No doubt about that. But, yeah, hopefully Mets will make some moves in the offseason because they desperately need it. Moving on with the Jets. Jets right now, they're playing against the Bills. They're hosting the Bills. They've lost three straight, but right now they're gonna snap that losing streak, and especially they're gonna really need to turn this around because the AFC East got even tougher because a lot of the teams made some moves. You know, the Bills got Benjamin. Miami. I think they traded away Ajayi. And then of course you got the shocking move. the Patriots trading Garofalo, you know, and then they re-signed Hoyer, I think it was. I think that's what they signed to be, you know, to be back his to be Brady's backup again.
Oh, you're talking about Brian Hoyer?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. Brian Hoyer, they signed him as a backup.
But the dumbest move of the whole draft. I don't know if you heard about the trading deadline. I don't know if you heard about this, but the Browns, man, they had a deal for AJ McCarron, and apparently they were so excited about getting the deal that they forgot to present it to the NFL to get it official. And it's not official. They basically put the carriage before the horse, celebrated, and they have nothing to celebrate. That's like the proverbial touchdown callback. Like, upon further review, the trade was not made in time. It's like ridiculous, man. How do you
moron.
Celebrate? I mean, they might as well got the referee from the Geico commercial. I will have nachos. I mean, like, come on. How do you make a boneheaded play like that? You celebrate before you make the trade official? That would be like the first thing you do.
That's
my goodness.
That's the most retarded thing most retarded things I've ever heard.
You gotta look at the clock. I mean, come on, look at the clock. How are you gonna celebrate? That's why they've been a losing franchise for a long time, man. It's really messed up. I mean, they haven't won since '64, man.
They
really need to get their act
that's
together.
That's stupidity.
Beyond it's beyond stupidity. How can you make a boneheaded mistake like that? Shake my head, man.
They probably still could have the deal done. I mean, it could probably still go through. You know, don't you think?
Yeah, had they not celebrated before they made sure the play was done.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You gotta right now the Jets are leading 34-14, 4:09 remaining in the game. So yeah, we'll keep you posted on that.
Yeah, Jets are handing an ass whooping tonight to the Bills.
Jones looks like he's injured. So, yeah, the Jets will snap their 3-game losing streak. And hopefully resuscitate their playoff hopes.
Yeah. This was definitely a big win for them, so that, you know, it really
Absolutely.
Helped.
Absolutely. They've lost so many close games these past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, costly interceptions, you know, these past couple of weeks. And, you know, it's good that they're finally on the winning side. But, yeah, shifting gear, another team, you know, in MetLife Stadium that's desperate for a victory is the Giants, and they're going to be hosting the Rams on Sunday afternoon. What's your thoughts?
Well, you know, the Giants season is pretty much over, but I mean, they'll look tomorrow, not tomorrow, Sunday, to get their second win of the season against the Rams. Rams have been playing really well this year. They have Todd Gurley has found himself again after experiencing a sophomore slump last year. He's been a beast running the ball. And, you know, Rams, they have a solid defense. And, you know, they're a much better team than they were last year. So they're going to give the Giants problems in the middle at MetLife on Sunday. But, yeah, I mean, Giants right now, you know, they right now they're just playing for a top draft pick. So, you know, that's the only thing to look forward to right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in Giant-related news, you know, my condolences go out to the Giant family, you know, the Tisch family. Joan Tisch, she passed away earlier today. She was 90 years old. So, you know, my thoughts and prayer are with you know, her family, you know, the Giants organization. You know, they lost their matriarch. So,
condolences
go out to them. And, you know, and, you know, less important news, you know, former Giants greats, you know, Lawrence Tynes and Carl Banks, you know, they were basically blaming, the rightfully so, the Giant players need to take responsibility for, you know, this shocking, horrible Giant season, you know, this year.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
this is not only on the players, but it's also on the coaches. I mean, the coaches have to prepare these players, and they don't look prepared. They haven't looked prepared in these games. So, you know, it starts with the coaches first, you know, and then the players. So, I mean, after the season, a lot of heads are going to have to roll.
Absolutely. And here's what Carl Banks said. He tweeted, "I'm going to put this out there to you, Giant players. Your teammates deserve your best at adverse times. Show up and give a damn." Lawrence Tynes, he also tweeted, "GM's fault, coach's fault, typical responses from losers. Look in the damn mirror. Dust yourself off. Play for the man next to you. It works." Which, I mean, it's, you know, very true, you know. In times like that, it's easy for people to point the finger and not the thumb. So, you know, the Giants, this is not a time for this divisiveness. You know, they gotta band together and try to put some wins on, even though, you know, their playoff hopes are, you know, are gone. But they gotta play for pride, especially, you know, with a 1-6 start.
Yeah, well, they gotta do a lot right now because, you know, they're 1-6. You know, they're not gonna win the division. You know, if they play hard and, you know, try to finish with a .500 record, maybe they'll have a chance to make the playoffs. Who knows? But they're certainly not winning the division with the Eagles running away with the division right now, 7-1, and the Cowboys trailing them.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Cowboys are 6-2, I think. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, so Giants just have to play for pride right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, shifting gears with the Knicks, man. The Knicks have been playing better. You know, they started off what 0-3, and then they won. Their last three games prior to yesterday's game against the Rockets, and you know one of the highlights of their recent winning streak before the Rockets game was finally defeating the Cavaliers on the road. I mean, I honestly can't remember the last time the Knicks beat the Cavaliers. And that was even before LeBron left, took his talents to South Beach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when they left, Cleveland was still with Kyrie Irving. They still was whooping our behinds.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so for to see the Knicks beat up on the Cavs, which look like the Cavs, you know, they've taken a hit. It looks like they're complacent. Like, you know, they know there's no team that could really like challenge them, you know, for the title. I mean, with the exception of the Celtics, I mean, all these other teams are basically Eastern Conference pretenders, and these guys are getting complacent. They're not hungry like they used to be. So the you know the Knicks they whoop their behind and Porzingis, man, he's playing like a superstar. He scored 30 points in the last the first seven games of the season so far. Not to mention highlighted by the 38 points I believe against the Nuggets a few days ago. So Knicks are playing well. Cantor is playing well, you know, in his first year as a Knick. They really need to stabilize that defense. But they have been playing better prior to the Rockets game, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, they've been playing real well, and Porzingis is playing like the MVP of the league, scoring almost 30 points every game. Knicks overall, they've been playing good, especially since they inserted what's his name? Since they put him in as the starting point guard, they've
the
won.
Pepper, right.
Yeah, but they still need to play better defense, as we saw in that Houston game the other night where they got blown out. So they need to improve on that. But, you know, they're looking like an exciting team to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, you answered my question. Do you think Ntilikina should start instead of Jax? You know,
no.
Ntilikina has shown some flashes. So that's a quick no. a quick answer. You don't think they should disrupt the chemistry with the starting lineup so far? Even though Ntilikina has shown flashes, especially his first game at the Garden.
Yeah, no, I don't think they should disrupt that chemistry right now. Ntilikina, he'll get his time. You know, he's a young guy. Let Jerry Jack mentor him, show him the ropes.
I hear you.
And, you know, maybe in the next year, a few years, he'll start.
Shifting gears. Let's talk WWE. What do you think is, going on with WWE? So basically, it's Survivor Series. You're going to have Raw versus SmackDown. The champions are going to be battling each other. Jinder Mahal, WWE champion, versus Brock Lesnar, which, in my opinion, should be the best match of the night since it's the two champions. But as we all know, Jinder Mahal is a paper champion. So that definitely lessens the enthusiasm of the WWE champion battling the Universal champion. Let's say if it was Shinsuke Nakamura or I'm trying to think. Well, Orton and him fought already. Like AJ Styles versus Brock Lesnar would have been exciting, or Nakamura. If they would have had a fan favorite as a WWE champion going against Brock Lesnar, that would have definitely boosted the Survivor Series matchup. The other matchups are good. You know, you got United States champion Baron Corbin versus the Intercontinental Champion, The Miz, The New Day, SmackDown Champions versus The Usos, the WWE Champion, depending on what happens on SmackDown, if the Shelton Benjamin and Gable team defeat Usos, which I don't think is going to happen next week. Those two teams are going to be battling each other. Usos, if they defend the title against, Benjamin and Gable, they'll be facing the New Day. Alexa Bliss versus Natalya should be a good match, you know. I'm trying to think, what else? Is that it? Is that about all the matchups for the? Oh yeah, and of course you got the Survivor Series, the traditional Survivor Series. Kurt Angle being the captain, I'm all for it. That was great, especially after his awesome performance at the TLC. And of course Shane McMahon named himself captain, which, you know, I don't know about you. I mean, Shane, I mean, it's good to see him back, but I think he's starting to, they're starting to play him out a little bit, him wrestling all the time. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he should be the captain. If he's going to wrestle, I don't think he should be the captain, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, he's
I'd rather see Daniel Bryan fight, but no, WWE's putting him on Shackled. Maybe that's why I'm a little souring on the thing, because, you know, WWE is, like, Daniel Bryan clearly wants to wrestle, and WWE is keeping his career hostage, man. They don't want him to, because he has, you know, history of concussions, but yet Kurt Angle has histories of, you know, of that, and have wrestling, winning a medal with a broken freaking neck, as Kurt Angle always says.
Yeah.
And they brought him back, so I think Daniel Bryan should, you know, this is going to be his last hurrah with the WWE come next year once his contract expires. They should give him a shot.
I agree with you.
I think that's why I'm siring on Shane, you know, because, I'd like to see Daniel Bryan fight. At least, you know, let him get a proper send-off.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, and another negative thing about it, I think the pay-per-view event, obviously Survivor Series is one of the main four pay-per-view events, but I think another thing that, you know, makes me sour on the pay-per-view events is, like, they're all non-title matches because the titles are not going to change hands. So it's essentially, unlike all these other matches this year, we all assume that all these titles are not going to change hands, you know, because, you know, WWE is hell-bent on having Jinder Mahal and Brock Lesnar be champions until at least WrestleMania. So we knew the titles wasn't going to change hands, but with this, you know, Raw versus SmackDown thing, there's 100% chance that the title's not going to change hands. But, I mean,
yeah,
it's going to be an interesting matchup. I mean, other than the heavyweights, you know, Mahal versus Brock Lesnar, I mean, the other matches seem pretty interesting to me, you know. And this is what the true bragging rights pay-per-view event. I think I mentioned this, like, years ago on this show that they shouldn't even have the bragging rights pay-per-view event. They should have morphed it into this Survivor Series. Well, I guess that's what they're doing now.
It should be a good pay-per-view event. You know, it should be all right. Much better than the last one. The last one only had, like, a few good matches, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, man. Do you have any last words, Mac?
Well, check out my show. I'm not sure if I'm going to do the show this Saturday since we'll be out.
Right.
So just stay tuned. Just go to my page on Box Talk Radio and check, you know, stay updated. But yeah, just come back here. Check out Sports of a Legend next Saturday on Box Talk Radio at 11.
You're the guy, man. Check out Sports of a Legend back at its regular time and day. Saturdays at 11, and check out iMac every Sundays at midnight, only on Block Talk Radio. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Remo, and I want to thank you guys for listening to the Season 9 premiere episode, and have an awesome day, everybody, and good night. Peace.